welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service here at Zion. We'll be following Divine Service Setting 3, which is on page 184 of the hymnal. The hymns that we'll be singing today, the opening hymn is the Hymn of the Month, 645, Built on the Rock. Hymn of the Day, 865, Lord, Help Us Ever to Retain. During distribution, 596, All Christians Who Have Been Baptized. 563, Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. 543, What Wondrous Love Is This? Closing hymn, 585, Lord Jesus Christ With Us Abide. A reminder, our radio fund is supported just by free will gifts, and I think we're good. Well, I know we're good through August, September. I don't know where we're at now, but I know it's getting close to running out, and when we run out, we'll just cease to broadcast over the radio. I just say as a reminder and encouragement for those who want to see it keep going, to make sure you designate those gifts as radio funds. Also an important announcement, we have painting days coming up. They're printed in the green insert. These are opportunities to help, and Pastor Jones has his all organized, so let him know if you'll be able to help. Tuesday, 1 to 3, Thursday, 1 to 3, Saturday, 9 to noon. So let him know if you can help out with those. Today, of course, we'll have our worship in the park at Irvine Park. That's at 10:30 rather than our normal Bible study, and followed by a potluck picnic. So come on over there if you want to eat. There'll be plenty of food, always is. And next Sunday, we have a special service. Reverend Dan Jastrom, he is a missionary we support. He's in Japan, and he will be our guest preacher. And then during Bible study hour, he'll do a special presentation, interaction, talking about what is going on with the mission work of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Asia. So I hope you can join us for that. All right, that's all I have. So let's begin with our opening hymn, 645, Built on the Rock. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. We allow a time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the intro it. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teaching and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 29. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it's sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me,' or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a little, a very little while, until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual printed on the yellow inserts. Fear the Lord, you His saints, lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus, with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. They saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you have gained from me is korban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do.' This is the gospel of the Lord." Together, we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." You may be seated for our hymn. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Each Sunday we include in the bulletin the summary of the readings, which is helpful to read. I encourage you to look at those if you don't already. They're prepared by our synod, and they help to highlight the theme and tie together the readings for the day. In the first part of today's, I'll just read the first part. It says, the true tradition of the church is the gospel, which is the preaching and administration of Christ Jesus. Other traditions, although not commanded by God, may serve and support that sacred tradition of the gospel, but the church dare not reject the commandment of God in order to establish or hold to the tradition of men. So not all traditions, not all man-made traditions are bad. Those that serve and support the true tradition of the gospel are good, but God must, the church must submit to God and God's word. The church should not have any traditions that supersede the gospel or distract from it or replace God's command. Whatever we do, whatever we hold to, we do not want to reject the commandment of God. The word of God is authoritative. We submit to it, we uphold it, we hold fast to it, and we allow God's word to correct us, to direct us, to transform us. We're like clay in the hands of the master potter and God working through his word to shape us into the image that he desires us to be, even the image of Christ. Now, we hear God's word on marriage today. It's in the epistle reading, and we submit to it. We hold fast to it, and it does transform us. And what we want to understand, which is cited in this reading, is that God is the author and the designer of marriage. It's his idea. He instituted, and so he tells us this is what marriage is. Genesis 2, which is cited in there, it reads, the man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So before the fall, while in paradise, God instituted and blessed the union of man and woman. And God tells us that marriage is this lifelong union between a male and a female. It's not a functional arrangement, at least not simply that. And there are two people in this union, a man and a woman, a male, a female. They're complementary by his design, and they're not interchangeable. So men and women, they fill this office of husband and wife, this office that God created. But you can't make it into whatever they want. They're simply filling in this office. They don't have that authority to change it. God made marriage, and so God tells us this is what marriage is. And God gives marriage for various reasons. These are outlined nicely in our rite of holy matrimony, in our hymnal, page 175. And I'll read some of that. God gives marriage for mutual companionship, help and support of the husband and the wife. He gives marriage so that the husband and wife may delight in one another. And he gives marriage for the procreation of children. Now, since God is the author and designer of marriage, well, humans can't just redefine it. Anyone who would attempt to define marriage differently than the way God has given it, well, they're like the people that Isaiah talks about. This is, in our reading, he's describing those whose hearts are far from the Lord. They turn things upside down, or another way to translate it, they pervert things. or translation, they turn things upside down. They regard the potter as clay, the thing made, saying of its maker, he didn't make me, or he has no understanding. And to teach marriage, that marriage is other than what God would gave it to be, would be to reject the commandment of God in order to establish our own tradition, which the gospel talks about. When we look at the Ephesians text for today, you may think that it's mainly about the topic of marriage, and it's not, at least maybe not in the way you might initially think. The text is about Christ and his bride, the church. We have to understand the foundation of Christ and his bride if we want to rightly understand why Paul tells wives and husbands to live toward each other the way that he does. Now, you're probably familiar with the classic fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast. It's an old one. It was first published in French in 1740. And it's a story of a beautiful girl whose name is Beauty, or in French, Belle. And the circumstances bring her to cross paths with this beastly creature. Now, he's in a distant castle. This beast has been cursed, has a hideous appearance, and it's his own fault. He brought this curse on himself. As the tale goes, Beauty came to dwell in the castle of the beast, and over time she grew to know him and to love him. And in the beast's most desperate dying hour, the kiss of Beauty's love, or in one version, the tear of Beauty's love, fell on him. And he was suddenly and gloriously transformed. The curse was lifted, and the beast appeared in restored, beautiful, noble manner. There can be some truth in fairy tales, and it doesn't all relate, but there's a bit of a truth when we think here of our relationship with Jesus, but reverse the roles. Jesus Christ is the beauty. We're the beast. Jesus Christ is the noble, glorious, compassionate one. The church, you and I, are the ones stained by sin, blemished by defect and blame. Not at all lovely. Or selfish, self-absorbed, unaware of the needs of the people around us. We feel justified in our demand for things to be the way we want them. We think we deserve the respect and consideration of other people, so we're upset when we don't get it. We're righteous in our own eyes. But then we look down on others, and we're cold and uncaring, hard-hearted. We're really hideous beasts trying to present ourselves as beauties. In us, in the church, there's nothing to be attracted to, and yet Jesus loved us. He called us to be his beloved. This is how Paul describes us. This is how Christ loved us. He handed himself over on her behalf, to suffer her shame, to save her life. Jesus did this. Jesus handed himself over in order that he set her apart as special. He set us apart as special and to wash her clean, wash us clean. He did this in order that he could present her to himself a glorious church, to present us to himself as a glorious church. That's how he sees us. He stands beside his church with joy, calls her his bride, his beloved. He stands by her, defends her, he loves her. We would be holy and without spot of sin. This is why he did this. The blemish of unfaithfulness or any such thing, he gave himself to take that away, to take that on himself. And this is how Jesus sees us, without blemish. He sees us as beautiful. The sacred tradition of the gospel, Jesus Christ, for you, is why husbands ought to love their wives completely, selflessly, sacrificially. That's how you've been loved by Christ. The gospel is why husbands ought to nourish and cherish their wives, caring for them as their own bodies, not neglecting or belittling or being harsh with them. Jesus nourishes, cherishes, and cares for us, his church. We are his body. The gospel is why husbands ought never embarrass their wives or draw attention to their flaws, because Christ gave all of himself to present you to himself as glorious. The gospel is why husbands ought to be self-sacrificing, even to the point of death, if love requires it, because Christ was for you. The gospel is why wives ought to surrender themselves and all things to their husbands, do so out of reverence for Christ. Christ desires that. The word Paul uses, translated submit in our text, it's the same word used when Jesus submits to his mother and father after they found him in the temple. It's not slavery. It's not an authoritarian control. It's subordinating. It's fitting rightly into God's order, his good order. And a wife doesn't submit because her husband deserves it. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it any more than the wife deserves his entire self-sacrifice. A wife submits to her husband, and a husband loves his wife because it is living out the gospel and honoring Christ. The picture of Christ and the church is a picture of perfection. We all fall short, but we do continue to strive for this. It's because we fall short, we need Jesus as our Savior. But our sin doesn't take away from the commandment of God. We dare not reject him. We dare not reject his commandments. And whether you're married or not, this text is about you. You are the church, the bride of Christ. And the text tells us of our beloved, Jesus Christ, and how he loves us. Moved by his love and thankfulness to him, we all can honor his institution of marriage by living the gospel toward one another. That's how we ought to live. Whether married or not, we can encourage husbands and wives to live out as the Lord desires, and we can honor marriage in what we say and how we act and how we think, to the glory of God. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. We continue with the offertory.
Entering the upright spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of the Son.
You may be seated as we collect the offering. Thank you. Please stand for prayer. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll just pray. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are known, grant us a true faith, that we would honor you not only with our lips, but serve you faithfully with all our heart, mind, and strength. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you call men into the office of the ministry to be shepherds of your sheep. Grant your wisdom to those who guide your church. Matthew, our Synod President, Dwayne, our District President, Jeffrey, our Circuit Visitor, Brad, our Pastor, and all servants of the church, keep them steadfast in the faith, so that they do not set forth as divine truth those things that are only human tradition, but rather teach your word with honesty and clarity. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve us from rejecting your commandments for the doctrines of men. By your Spirit's aid, lead all Christians to keep your commandments in thought, word, and deed, honoring you in all that we do. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve your estate of marriage. Grant that wives should submit to their husbands as to the Lord, and that husbands would love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, hear our prayers for our nation and its leaders, for all civil servants and those whose work imperils them for the sake of their neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in his earthly ministry, your Son healed the sick and comforted the hurting. Grant healing and peace to those taking treatments, to the ill or injured, to the lonely and the imprisoned, and to all in need of our prayers, including Jeff, Dan, Ben, Lewis, Arlene, Tammy, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Arlene, Michael, Mark, Jesse, Sarah, Kara, Dan, Leah, Marlis, Erno, Ben, and Jeff, that in meekness each hurting heart would obtain fresh joy in your Son and exalt in you, Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, strengthen the faith and sustain to life everlasting all who partake in the fellowship of this altar and receive Christ's body and blood this day in the Holy Communion. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying. who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the very body of Christ given to the world. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri City.